So we get a reading this morning from Matthew chapter 9. Yes, I think, David, are you coming to read for us? David, are you coming to read for us Matthew chapter 9? Yeah, that's okay. It's beginning at verse 14, yeah? Yes, thank you. Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Then the disciples of John came to him, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk..." Sorry, my hand's shaking. This is the reason for this. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on and an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment and the tear is made worse. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break, the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine in new wineskins, and both are preserved."
That's it. Thank you, David. Bless you. Thank you. Well done. Oh, no. That's it. Thank you very much. Wonderful. I thought I just deleted my sermon from here, from the iPad, but he hasn't. So a time for us to think a little bit about Lent. I need to apologize in advance. I've been suffering this week with a terrible cold. I've been doing some sermon prep yesterday and this morning, and a little bit through the night. So having in view the fact that I also have to have a church meeting after this, so I'll try and be as short as I can, short but sweet and to the point. Lent is that kind of time where we are reminded, we are encouraged to sit, reflect, be still. And it's something that goes on around us all the time. Give up. Give up on things. And you hear all the time, or you see on Facebook, people giving up Facebook, and you still see them on Facebook. People giving up on coffee. And I met with someone the other day who about 2 weeks ago, she said to me, "Emilian, I'm going giving up on coffee for the whole of Lent." And where do you think I met her? In a coffee shop. But we're not talking about that. People give up on all sorts of things. How many of you have given up on chocolate? No, I don't. I just can't. I can't. It's impossible. Those are what we might call disciplines that we choose to give up on. We deliberately choose to give up on. And as I read the scripture, is that Christ calls us to live a life that, and to respect some disciplines that are not by our choice. Sometimes we think the Lent is okay if I have those 5 weeks leading up to Easter, giving up chocolate, Facebook, coffee, whatever it's around me that it does bad to my soul or to my body, then I am okay and my relationship with Christ will be revitalized. But is it? Again, those are choices, disciplines that we choose to give up. Let me say it again. I think Christ has something else in mind when he said the journey of Lent is something that is more than just what we choose to do or be or even respect from that point of view. Jesus at one time said, the only reason to do the spiritual disciplines like this that you choose is because you have a Heavenly Father who sees you, who longs to draw you close, and who wants to reward you with intimacy of his presence. Indeed, with the tenderness of his compassion and a word of encouragement to you, who wants to give you the grace that you need for this moment in time. Lent is a time for us to be reminded that we need to stay close to God. And those are things that we do, that we believe that by cutting our coffee and chocolate and Facebook of our lives, we get closer to God because we get less disturbed in being closer, in praying, in reading the scripture or whatever, which is all good and it's fine. But I'm not quite sure what this is what Jesus had in mind. On one occasion, Jesus said, God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you. How many of you would have liked to say that this is one of my things for Lent, where I'm going to put up with whatever criticism comes from my family, from my friends, church, colleagues at work or whatever, and I'm going to turn the other cheek? This is something that I don't choose for Lent. I can choose to give up chocolate, but not criticism. I think this is more what Jesus had in mind than us giving up things, but him working with us through some things that we do not have choice in them. In James, Apostle James put it like this, you have trials of many kinds. Trials of many kinds, so your spiritual faith can grow and develop. I want to ask you a question. What is the spiritual discipline this Lent in your life that you did not choose? Let me give you some examples of some spiritual disciplines that I had the privilege to talk to some people during Lent that they didn't choose. Like I can choose to give up chocolate or not watch the TV or Netflix or whatever. This person that I met about 3 weeks ago, she has a child who has special needs. And she's been caring for him for about 16 years. She didn't choose that. But she saw that as a spiritual discipline to come closer to God. She sees that every morning, every afternoon, and every evening when she goes to care for him. She's a single parent. She hasn't got a husband. She's a lady who always looking forward to have a telephone call from someone to encourage her, to tell her you're doing okay. Keep on going. Keep on trusting. This is a spiritual discipline that she has not chosen, yet it keeps her closer to God. Some of you, and I remember speaking to someone recently again in a coffee shop, fearing for his job. He might be made redundant, he might have to move. This is a spiritual discipline that this person has not chosen. Having to pay the bills, look after the family. At the beginning of this week, I met with someone who struggles hugely with health issues. There's another spiritual discipline that this person has not chosen. Went to hospital in the last 3 weeks. The last time he was there was about nearly 4 days in agony. Some of us probably here present, we have another spiritual discipline that we carry with us, and that's relationships. We'll struggle relationships, whether it's with our spouses, with our brothers and sisters, whether it is at work, with colleagues, with bosses. Those are spiritual disciplines that we do not choose. And this is what kind of thing that God looks at to build his new life within us, to build us and bring us closer to him. More than giving up chocolate or Facebook or anything else like Netflix. Yes, those help. But it's in those kind of permanent spiritual disciplines that go beyond or they've been there before Lent to help us get closer to God. Usually when we go through this, we respond in different ways through these disciplines that we do not choose. We choose to rebel, we choose to resign, or we choose to rejoice. We have three choices in them. We can rebel and say, God, if you're faithful, if you're loving and caring, why this thing happens to me? I don't want to hear about it. I don't want it in my life. We can choose to resign and say, I don't have anything with this. I'll be out of this. And leads to a sense of powerlessness and hopelessness and loneliness and fear and so on. But what we can choose, as James reminds us, that it says, God blesses you in all kinds of trials, because trials produces perseverance, which produces stronger faith, which produces more and more character. You know, I've been thinking about this for quite some time, and it's easy to give up chocolate because I make a choice. Yeah, it's got its challenges, but it's much harder to go and ask forgiveness for someone who has hurt me. This is the kind of spiritual discipline that Jesus has in mind for Lent. And not just for Lent, for life. For life. That builds incredible intimacy with him. It's much easier for me to give up Netflix and Facebook than to actually go and face someone face to face and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for hurting you. You know, and many of us have a spiritual discipline, whether it's a relationship or a child or a husband or a colleague at work, or it's an illness or whatever it is that we've been facing day by day. And some of us feel, last week when we had Oti here from Romania, I said, you know, why don't we go for, you know, let's go, when we went upstairs, let's go in the lift. And I said, no, I don't want to go in the lift. I have a very bad experience with lifts. It seems to be that wherever he goes, he gets stuck in lifts for whatever matter. So later on at home, he was just sharing with me how several times he got so stuck that once, I think he was in one of the African countries, I think in Sudan or somewhere, he got stuck for 17 hours in a lift. And for some of us, it feels like this, that we are stuck in one of those spiritual disciplines, whether it's ill health or bad relationships, that those doors don't open anymore for us. We're stuck in between stages where we can't go anywhere. And it's in the moment, in those moments where Christ comes, and I want to give you something new. I want to give you something fresh, something incredible. And I want to share with you a verse. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit, look what it says, fruit that would last. Giving up chocolate will not last, but forgiving a friend who hurt me will last for the rest of my life. So that whenever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Oof. Mm. Give up chocolate. No. Love one another. That's Lent discipline for you and for me. This is what he says. You cannot be fruitful if we are seedless. We cannot be fruitful if we are seedless. We cannot love if we haven't experienced Christ's love. We cannot forgive if we haven't experienced Christ's forgiveness. We cannot. I want to show something else with you. Fruit. I've heard this. I don't know where I've got it from. I pinched it from somewhere. But I just love this so much. Fruit, faith, repeating until it transforms. That's what Lent is all about. It's not just about giving up chocolate for the 5 weeks. It's faith being repeated in the most challenging situations of life, in difficulties. Faith repeating until it transforms. Yeah, reading my scripture, praying, believing in the most of the most difficult circumstances of life, not just during Lent. This is what fruit that will last will look like in our lives. This is what it'll look like. You know, I've got here an illustration that I didn't know how to do it. Give me 5 more minutes and I'll finish. I've got 2 bananas here. This is one that looks okay. Who would like to eat this one? There are people who would. They say it's good for you, it's full of sugar. But then I've got this one as well. And I think the best I could illustrate to you what I want to say this morning is that Lent is not just about having something new, but it's something the same but fresh. It's looking at God and our situation with different eyes, with the different eyes of faith. Faith repeating until it transforms. Now, I can still eat this. Yeah? But it's not going to be that tasty. But God sometimes wants us to have something fresh, not necessarily new. I think I've got this here. Let me show you this on the next slide. I've got this here. You know, see, these days, these companies, they like us to buy new clothes, new cameras, new shoes. Have you noticed what the best sold products on the market these days are? I'll tell you from my point of view of buying cameras, is that the companies like Nikon or Canon who bring retro cameras that are digital, so they are new in a way, but they look old, those are the ones that sold the best. Those are shoes by Michael Jordan that sold the best in the world, the best sold shoe. It is a retro shoe, but it's called new. It's multi-million pounds, dollar, whatever you want to call it, company. Why? Because they sell something old with people who want new excitement in their lives. But the style is the same of the 70s and 80s. Michael Jordan hasn't been playing basketball for decades, I think. But he still sells that to us because we want the new excitement. What Christ says, I want you to give you something fresh. Not new. And we buy the new. Buy our iPhones every two, three months, I know someone who does that. I wanted to, if anyone is in Christ, he is new. The only new thing that happens in our lives is when we become Christians, when we become a new creation because of his Holy Spirit in our lives. And I want to use that verse. Neither do people put new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. I grew up in Romania. On every summer, I used to go to my uncle to help him make wine on the farm. And he made some really good wine. The word that you see there, new wine, in Romanian is called must. It's a nearly made wine. It's the first 4, 5, 6 days of fermentation where it's so sweet, it's sweeter than honey. And then it is left to mature. And I used to go and pick up the grapes, scratch them under my feet, put them in these big barrels, and change them into different barrels. And when you change that, that must, that wonderful, beautiful new wine comes and is put in the last barrels to properly mature. And this is what it says here. That must, that new wine, is no good if you take him, the lovely new wine, and put him in an old vessel. It wouldn't work. It wouldn't work at all. You need a new vessel for it. You need some new wineskins for it to mature and to work properly. It will never change its property if it's in an old thing, because the old thing will break. There will be nothing left of it, and you'll lose the wine too, not only the skin, the wineskin. And I think this is what God wants to say to us during Lent. Lent, it's a period of time where there's nothing new. Chocolate might not help. Well, it might help with the figure, but I'm not going to help that much spiritually. But forgiving someone who's hurt you, it will help tremendously. I want to say to you that in God, my saying to us as a church, that if I want to do something not necessarily new, but I want to bring some refreshing new vision to you, but you cannot keep it in the wild skins of tradition. You cannot contain it. You cannot have different results with the same kind of questions that we ask. Look at this thing here. How do I accept an attitude of discipline during Lent? How do I know what pleases God? How do I know what is fresh from God in my life? It's one word. And this is the Message version of Psalm 140. It says this. Psalm 100 verse 4. Look what it says. Enter with the password. I love the Message version. Thank you. Gratitude is what brings freshness. We don't always have to have a new car, a bigger home, more money. Well, no, better family or whatever. It's having gratitude for what we have. Because God doesn't just want to give us all the time something new, but something fresh. Something that is really good for us. Lent is about what you have and where you are that is enough. What I have and where I am, it is enough. I just need the freshness of His Holy Spirit to come and be poured. God is not pouring new unless the vessel that we have is fresh. It's fresh because it's empty of bitterness, of unforgiveness, is empty of hatred, and then the freshness comes as those disappear. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit this morning here, and thank you for the privilege to hear your word. Thank you that you are our God, a God who makes all things new, yet in the midst of that, He refreshes our souls. We thank you that you're a God who wants to come in our midst and have a perfect relationship with us. Lord, we pray that you'll refresh us, revitalize us, renew us, and re-energize us. I pray this morning for the people who, not only through this Lent, but throughout their life, they've been going through the different challenges, whether in family, whether financially, spiritually, whether with an illness. I pray that they will continue to receive the freshness of your Spirit, healing and comfort and reassurance of your love where it's needed. We thank you that you're a gracious God, a God of new beginning, a God that is always there. We pray that the new wine that you have for us will be given to us into a new heart, new life. We will receive it. We will keep it so that we may enjoy it and rejoice it at the banquet of your love with others, where we may spread the aroma and the scent and the goodness of your grace. I pray that the spirit of Lent, you'll continue to bless the single mom, the single dad, families, orphans, people who are longing to hold a child in their arms. On this Mother's Day, we pray for your love, a as a father, as a mother, may continue to grow in us, to bring freshness to our souls, a new vision to our hearts and minds, and a new joy as we celebrate your goodness. Lord, we pray indeed that you will be our vision. In the name of Christ we ask. Amen.